Blog Talk Radio.
Presence of the Lord is here. Presence of the Lord is here. I feel it in the atmosphere. Presence of the Lord is here. Oh, presence of the Lord is here. Spirit of the Lord is here. Anybody feel it tonight? Spirit of the Lord is here. I feel it in the atmosphere. Spirit of the Lord is here. Oh, Spirit of the Lord is here. The power of the Lord is here. The power of the Lord is here. I feel it in the atmosphere. The power of the Lord is here. Oh, the power.
Hello out there, our podcast family. Welcome, welcome, welcome. And thank you for tuning in. This is a Hodge to Hodge podcast. This is a Messenger edition. We have co-producers Ken and Ron Hodge. I am Nurse Carmen. And again, we thank you for tuning in. Next, we will have a conversation with the Messenger, Ron Hodge.
Good evening, and thank you all once again for tuning in to our conversation. I will be speaking a word, but I just want to make it clear to those that are listening, if something is said that you don't quite understand and you want to ask a question, please don't feel shy or embarrassed about asking, because this is what we're here for. We're here to learn. We're here to allow God to speak to us. And remember, he said, my people have not for they ask not. So I just want us to be able to understand that. If you have a question, I want you to feel free to open it up and ask the question, and I will do my best. Hopefully the Spirit will guide me to give you the correct answer that your soul is desiring to hear. But I want to start off by letting everyone know that you are worthy, as is everyone else. Unworthiness is the worst indictment ever visited upon the human race. You have based your sense of worthiness on the past, while God bases your sense of worthiness on the future. The future, always the future. That is where your life is, not in the past, the future. That is where your truth is, not in the past. What you have done is unimportant compared to what you are about to do. How you have erred is insignificant compared to how you are about to create. God forgives your mistakes, all of them. God forgives your misplaced passions, all of them. God forgives your errors, your misguided misunderstanding, your hurtful actions, your selfish decisions, all of them. Others may not forgive you, but God does. Others may not release you from your guilt, but God does. Others may not let you forget, allow you to go on, become something new, but God does. For God knows that you are not what you were, but are, and always will be, what you are now. A sinner can become a saint in 1 minute, in 1 second, in 1 breath. In truth, there is no such thing as a sinner. For no one can sin against, least of all, God. This is why God says, I forgive you. I use the phrase because it's one you seem to understand. In truth, God does not forgive you and will not forgive you ever for anything. Because God does not have to. There's nothing to forgive. But God can release you. and hereby do. Now, once again, as I have done so often in the past through our podcasts, teaching so many other teachers as well. And the question is, well, why have we not heard them? Why have we not believed this, your greatest promise? Because you cannot believe in the goodness of God. Forget them and believe in God's goodness. Believe instead in simple logic. The reason God has no need to forgive you is that you cannot offend God. Nor can God be damaged or destroyed. Yet you imagine yourself capable of offending, even damaging God. What an illusion. What a magnificent obsession. You cannot hurt God, nor can God be harmed in any way. For God is the unharmable, and that which cannot be harmed cannot and would not harm another. You understand now the logic behind the truth that God does not condemn, nor shall God punish, nor seek any kind of retribution? God has no such need, because God has not and cannot be offended or damaged or hurt in any way. The same is true of you and all others. Through all of your image that you can be and have been hurt and damaged and destroyed. Because you imagine damage, you require revenge. Because you experience pain, you need another to experience pain as retribution for your own. Yet what possible justification can that be for inflicting pain upon another? Because you imagine someone has inflicted injury upon you, you feel it better and proper to inflict injury in return? That which you say is not okay for human beings to do to each other is okay for you to do so long as you are justified. This is insanity. And what you do not seek in this insanity is that all people who inflict pain on others assume themselves to be justified. Every action a person takes is understood by that person to be the right action, given what it is they seek and desire. But your definition, what they seek and desire, is wrong. But by their definition, it is not. You may not agree with their model of the world, with their moral and ethical construction, with their theological understanding, nor with their decision, choices, and actions, but they agree with them based on their values. You call their values wrong, but who is to say your values are right? Only you. Your values are right because you say they are. Even this might make some sense if you kept your word about it. But you yourself change your mind constantly about what you consider right and wrong. You do this as individuals and you do this as society. What our society considers right just a few decades ago, you consider wrong today. What you consider wrong in the not-too-distant past, you now call right. Who can tell what is what? How do you know the players without a scorecard? Now, you say, and yet we dare to sit in judgment of one another. We dare to condemn because some other person has failed to keep up with their own changing ideas about what is permitted and what is not. So, that isn't the problem. Changing your ideas of what's right and wrong isn't the problem. You have to change those ideas or you will never grow. Changing is a product of evolution. No, the problem is not that you have changed or that your values have changed. The problem is that so many of you insist on thinking that the values you now have are the right and perfect ones, and that everyone else should adhere to them. Some of you have become self-justified and self-righteous. Stick to your beliefs if they serve you. Hold tight. Do not waver. For your idea about right and wrong are your definition of who you are. Yet, do not require the other to define themselves according to your terms. And do not say so stuck in your present beliefs and customs that you halt the process of evolution itself. Actually, you could not do that if you wanted to, for life goes on, with you or without you. Nothing stays the same, nor can anything remain unchanged. To be unchanged is to not move, and to not move is to die. All of life is motion. Even rocks are filled with motion. Everything moves. Everything. There is nothing that is not in motion. Therefore, by the very fact of motion, nothing is the same from one moment to the next. Nothing. So change. Yes, change. Change your ideas of right and wrong. Change your notion of this and that. Change your structures, your construction, your models, your theories. Allow your deepest truths to be altered. Alter them yourself, for goodness sake. I mean that quite literally. Alter them yourself, for goodness sake. Because your new idea of who you are is where the growth is. The new idea of what is so is where evolution is. Your new idea of who, what, when, where, how, and why of it is when the mystery gets out. The plot unravels. The story ends. You can begin a new story, a bigger one. The new idea of it, where the excitement is, where creation is, where God in you is made and becomes fully realized. How good you think things have been, they can be better. No matter how wonderful you think your theology, your idolatry, your cosmology, they can be full or even more wonders. For there are more things in heaven and earth than are dreamt of all your psychology, philosophy. Be open, therefore. Be open. Don't close off the possibility of new truth because you have been comfortable with an old one. Life begins at the end of your comfort zone. Yet, be not quick to judge another. Rather, seek to avoid judgment, for another person's wrong where you're right of yesterday. Another person's mistakes are your own past actions now corrected. Another person's choices and decisions are as hurtful and harmful, as selfish and unforgiving as many of your own have been. It is when you can just imagine how another person could do such a thing, you have forgotten where you came from and where both you and the other person are going. And to those who think yourselves to be the evil one, who thinks yourself to be unworthy and irredeemable, I tell you this, there is not a one among you who is lost forever, nor will there ever be, for you are all in the process of becoming. You are all moving through the experience of evolution. This is what God is up to through you. Through you, this is what God is up to. See, we've gotten, and if we just hang on, I've got some more podcasts that we want to present, just explaining our relationship and connection to God. And I don't want to sound too harsh about it, but we've gotten this God religion thing all wrong. Religion has tried to show us, but they have misinterpreted the words. Well, not misinterpreted the words, but they've given you another definition of it. I take that back. I stand corrected. They haven't given you another definition. You just assumed another definition of it. And what I mean by that, just literally what I'm saying is a lot of our so-called relationship with God comes from something that someone else has told us. And so we believe this to be self-evident because someone else has told us. But it has also said in the Word that you have to know God for yourself. Now, there are a lot of people that walk around here claiming that they know God, but they don't. Because you have to understand that God resides in you. And it says, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. So if greater is God that is within me than anything out in the world, I just want us to marinate on this and see where it is that the Spirit leads you as far as an answer. Greater is he that is in me. I can do all things through he that which strengthens me. It's there for us. We just got to take hold of it and use it as it is and not rely so much on religious teachings, but on the Spirit of God as it reveals it to you. Now, we have those that will take a spiritual experience and put it by the wayside for religious teachings. And we can't do this. And then we want to know why our life isn't going in the path that we would like for it to go. Part of the reason our life isn't going as we want it to go is because we are allowing others to direct our path. And what I mean by that, and I mean, you're free to do as you please, but how many times on Sunday morning did you want to go to the park? But you didn't go because they told you had to be in church. How many times you wanted to take your tithing and treat somebody, but you couldn't because you had to give it to the church? And I'm just using as an example for us to understand how we're not truly living our lives. We're living the life of what it is that other people want you to live. You have free will to live your life as you please. And God gave you free will for a reason. Because God experiences this through you. God knows that he's God, that it's God, but it needs to be able to experience being God, and he experiences the being God part through each and every one of us, through the things in which we call good, through the things in which we call bad. We find that hard to believe, but we have to understand that the things in which we call bad, as I was just illustrating to you, they're just bad to you, given what you've set up as your model of world. So it seems bad to you. To some folks, dancing is a bad thing. To other folks, it's a beautiful thing. To religious folks, if you throw on their praise dancing, then it's okay. But dancing is dancing. And how many of us have been able to go out on the dance floor and have a really good time, but now because religion tells me that that's wrong, I don't do anymore. And I use dancing, but it can go for anything. It can go for baseball. It could go for playing pool. It could go from playing spades. Things that bring you joy, you've allowed people to tell you that God is not pleased with that. People that has been blessed with a great singing voice, they've been told if you don't sing for God, it ain't no good. But that's just not so. God gave you that voice for you to have free will to do with it as you please. Not what other people tell you. We've got to, each day that we wake up, our mindset should be, what can I do? How can I create the best me today? Every single day, that should be your goal, to be the best you that you can be. And when you do that, that's how you honor God. That's how you give praise to God. all of this running around speaking in tongues that you don't even know what you're saying? It's all part of formality. God does not require all of this from you. It is religion. It is tradition. Somebody read in the Bible where somebody got full of joy and started speaking in an unknown tongue. Now all of a sudden that's a requirement. And we've got to be mindful of these things. And they were meant for good, but the Bible says that the younger generation will be weaker but wiser. And it's wise, and it's the wiser part that we've got to get to. And I only know that So what we have to understand is that we are part of the body of God. Without God, there is no you or I. There is no trees. There is no birds. There is no nothing. All of life is God. And because all of life is God, we've got to understand that we are part of that. God has given us great abilities. We are creators. We may not understand it, but our lives, the way it is right now, we created this. You might want to try and blame other people for all kinds of things, but it was us. We created this life. And now what I'm here to let you know, if you don't like this life, you have the power to change. So instead of complaining, change. And actually what you should do, you should honor this that you don't like, because this that you don't like has given you the vision to go to something else. So you honor that. You count it all joy. People know I love to say all things are working together for the good. We may not see it, but it's working for the good. God is in control. He has not lost any. And I just want to clear this up real quick. I'm always saying he, but that's part of the training that I've got to get out of. God is not a he nor a she, or God is whatever. So we've got to get that visualization of the man behind the cloth. As in the Wizard of Oz, we've got to get that out of our minds. We've got to understand that God resides in each and every one of us. And with that God that's within inside us, we can do all things. And when I say all things, we can heal the sick. We can raise the dead. We can do all things. Jesus said, "Why marvel at the things that I do when you can do this and so much more?" Jesus here, as an example, he tried to show us, but instead of us listening to what he was saying and hearing exactly what he's saying, we went and put him on another pedestal. We refused to believe that we are worthy. And I'm here to tell you, please understand me, you are just as worthy as Jesus. You can do the things that Jesus did. All you have to do is have a made-up mind that this is what I'm going to do. If you don't believe me, wake up tomorrow morning and create yourself something anew that you didn't think you could do. Because remember, you can do all things. You just have to have the faith and the knowing of who you are. Then you can put these into motion. As I get ready to end this podcast, so far nobody had any questions. I'm quite sure eventually. Also, what you can do if you'd like to listen to it later on, you can shoot someone your email, and we can email you where you can go and listen to not only this, but some of our other podcasts so that you can fully understand what it is that I'm coming from. But it's important for us to know that we are connected. We are part of the body of God. And because we are part of the body of God, there is nothing that we can't do. We are creators. We walk around here mad. We got to remember that that's a choice that we made. We decided we wanted to be mad. Because all we got to do, and it got this little thing that said, turn that frown upside down. And honestly, it is just that easy. We've got to understand who we are and give thanks. Even to things that seem like it's not what we wanted. We give thanks. Because that which we thought was a burden is something that's helped lifting us up. It's helping us to better understand. So if we take off those tunnel visions and start seeing a bigger picture and understanding that there is no difference between you or I, because we are all one. And the only way we can really get to that understanding is understand that it is not about this body that you see. Body will eventually wither and dry up. But you, your soul, lives forever. And ever and ever and ever, you cannot die. And I know, well, I've been to a funeral here and there. But let me ask you this for those that are on. If there was such a thing as death, why is it that it seems like whenever someone passes on to the next life, they always come back to somebody? Many of us have had mothers, brothers, sisters, cousins that have went on, but they stopped in every now and then. There is no death. We have to understand that death, what we call death, is actually the beginning of life. To the fullest. Because there is no body to hold the spirit in. And that spirit now becomes free to be and go and do whatever it likes. You know how we say God is everywhere? When you die, so are you. Why? Because you are part of God. Now, I know this was a lot, and I just hope that you heard what was said, and I pray that during the course of this evening, some of the things that I've said will come back to you, and you take a little moment to meditate on it, and if you take a little moment to meditate on it, I can assure you, I can guarantee you the answer, because he's talking to us every day. The question is, who's listening? I thank you all for coming out and listening tonight. We're here every Thursday and Sunday night at 9 o'clock, trying to spread the good news, trying to let people know that there is another way. And this is exactly what Jesus was trying to get us to understand. There is another way. They were trying to teach him in the synagogues. And Jesus said, this what you're trying to get them to do, you can't even do. And so what happened? Christianity formed, and they did the exact same thing that the Jews did. And we have to understand, God said it's so simple that a fool couldn't error. But take heed, have a talk with God, and then sit quietly and allow God to speak to you. I guarantee you, if you don't get an answer, you call me back and say, bro, I've been waiting, and he hasn't answered me. But I tell you, he will answer. You ask him and then turn on the TV, and somebody might be saying just the words that'll answer you. God can use in everything to at his disposal to answer you. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Neither will I. On that note, I thank you all for tuning in, and I hope something was said that would inspire your soul to get closer to God. You notice I didn't say get connected. Get closer, because you are always connected to him. It's just time for us to realize it and start using the authority and the power that he has given us. I love you all. Good night. Have a blessed evening. And I pray God allows you, your spirit, to come back next Thursday. God bless you. Love you all. Good night.